This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, I mean, it depends what kind of changes are available to us. We're going to continue to turn over every stone with our defense and with every other part of our team, too, to get as good as we can get it during the course of a long season. So a lot of things we can improve on, do whatever we can do. Marcus is a heck of a player. I have the utmost confidence in him as a player, as a person, as a pro. Plays hard, practices hard, and I anticipate him playing great football for us all season and very soon. A lot of things going on, and a lot of it's kind of our business. You know, it kind of belongs in-house. It's between us, and it's not something that we need to tell everybody everything about. I don't think you're telling everybody about your family business. I never get up here and talk about why we put guys up or put guys down. You know, I never have, so probably not going to start doing that now.
Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan on this Turn It Up Tuesday here on Vinny and Haney. I had to remember what day it was. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. My guy Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. Quick Draw will take it from there. Ravens still recovering from that 29-24 loss to Cleveland on Sunday. You just heard from John Harbaugh, who spoke to the media yesterday. Couple of things to address, Vinny. Let's go right to the top, to the Marcus Williams stuff, who was active on Sunday, but seemed inactive. I didn't see him with a helmet on at any point. I saw reporters saying he didn't have a helmet with him. He didn't get on the field. And that was a surprise to a lot of us. John Harbaugh, of course, asked about it after the game, called it a personnel decision, said that they were handling it internally. And then yesterday he's asked about it some more. And you heard his responses there, getting a little perturbed about the questions about Marcus Williams. How do you take this, and do you think we'll see him this week?
He got perturbed because it's uncomfortable talking about it. And he knows what went on, and he can't share what went on. Now, it had nothing to do with, and we talked about it off air. I think what you were saying is probably right, Cordell, which was Marcus Williams went off either on Zach or secondary coach, you know, and then probably Harbs got involved, and they probably benched him for his conduct. You know, I'm guessing if he got into it with Zach Orr, he was doing all the talking and yelling. So, and then Harbs probably had to get involved too. So I'm guessing it is a discipline. But, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, we talk about it every week. Where is he? Why isn't he involved? So there's something going on, Cordell, because he acts like he doesn't want to be there. And maybe he went in and I don't know, he probably hollered and yelled, hey, if that's how you're going to eat, trade me. I'm guarantee you that probably came out somehow, some way.
Sounds like speaking from experience. Knowing how those conversations go. Look, I mean, when the defense on that side of the ball is playing the way that they have, there's going to be testy conversations, right? If you're really trying to figure this thing out, somebody's going to have to take accountability, and people are going to have to be told some things they don't want to hear, and you're going to have to prepare yourself for a response that you necessarily don't want. If it's a situation where Marcus Williams was indeed benched because of a verbal dispute with one of the coaches or something like that, I have no problem with that. I honestly don't. If that's what you can't have players getting into it with coaches, and this is pure speculation, by the way,
right?
Pure speculation. But if that's the case, I have no problem with John Harbaugh doing what he did. My issue is kind of just, all right, sure, he doesn't have to tell us what's going on. He's absolutely right about that. But let's not sit here and make it seem like it's nothing to see here when one of your highest paid players is out of the blue not playing in the game on Sunday. His replacement is kind of getting beat up, but at least he's in the frame. At least he's tackling, guys.
Make 10
at least he's
tackles.
There. You know, at least he's there to have the ball hit him in the net.
Right.
You'd like him to catch it, but at least he's there. But my issue is you can't equate, oh, us not putting our family business out there to you and your football organization that people are paying a lot of money to go to these games and see these guys. This is one of the highest paid players on your team. I just don't think that kind of correlates, but I can understand him not wanting to speak to what's happening internally with Marcus Williams. Like, now, I'm sure it's testy, and the trade deadline being right around the corner doesn't help.
Yeah, week from today.
Yeah,
week from today. Yeah, because the thing is, Cordell, is by probably saying what happened, it's going to embarrass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's going to embarrass Marcus Williams or Zach
it
or
either
somebody.
Either way, somebody's going to look bad.
Right. And what good? Then you got to pick sides.
Right.
And what good does that do? You know, I mean, just like a family dispute. You don't want to put your family business out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got no problem with what Harbs is doing. None whatsoever. Now, we'll see what happens this week, you know, if he's back. But, you know, here's what I don't get. All right, the way they played Eddie Jackson or the way Eddie Jackson played safety compared to the way that Marcus Williams is playing
right.
is two different things.
Right.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, Marcus Williams starts 17 yards back and goes back. You know, where Eddie Jackson's like at 12 and he's coming up making plays. And like you said, you know, I mean, he dropped two picks, but would Marcus probably catches him, but would he have been there?
He's showing up two steps late.
Right, right. And that's what, Cordell, I said this. I told Haney, you know what I want to see with Marcus Williams, or I might have told Norm, what I want to see with Mark, I said, it's going to be chilly out in Cleveland. I said, if he's playing the way he's playing, he doesn't even need to shower, you know, because he doesn't ever break a sweat.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how he plays. And I mean, I've been on him every week during the game. I'm like, because I was watching him, like, I text Haney, I said, Bob, you seen Marcus Williams? You know, because I'm watching him, like, maybe he's out of the screen. I can't see him. And I'm like, I see 39. You know, I don't ever see 32. Where is he? And then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Jeff Zryback, who's out there. I saw his tweet about Marcus Williams on the sideline. And at that time, he didn't have a helmet with him. And even with Eddie Jackson, I mean, look, obviously, there's a lot to nitpick with the day Eddie Jackson had. But he's on, what, how many tackles did he have? 10?
Yeah.
10 tackles on the day. The pass defense, which should have been a pick. I thought he had horrible technique on the game-winning touchdown pass to Cedric Tillman. I mean, he doesn't even move his feet until Cedric Tillman is shoulder-to-shoulder with him. By that point, he's beat. I didn't think he played great, but the fact that he was there, the fact that he actually was a part of the game, it's like, all right, what has Marcus Williams been doing this whole time? And I think Marcus Williams, I think it's safe to say, has better ball skills than Eddie Jackson. So, of course, my mind is clicking like, all right, if Marcus Williams is in those spots that Eddie Jackson was in, does he make that pick in the end zone? Does he cover a little bit better on Cedric Tillman in that man coverage?
How about the center coverage? Field play? Cordell, let me just say this. If Eddie Jackson catches those two,
he's having a great day. Easily starting.
He's got 10 tackles and two picks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We haven't. Marcus Williams has two pass defense the whole season. So, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, with the dropped interceptions. Now, Cordell, how are you with Roquan and Hamilton leaving right after the game and not talking to the media?
It's always disappointing. You know, it's you like your leaders to be there for that. I mean, Brandon Stevens is the guy at the podium, and look, I don't know. I respect those guys a lot. I've talked very highly of both of those guys, so that doesn't change with that. But And I understand it's emotions and, you know, guys are frustrated after a loss like that in the division. I totally get it. But yeah, of course you'd like to see your leader stick around and kind of speak on behalf of their side of the
Especially
ball.
Especially when they do it every week.
Yeah. I mean, and Kyle Hamilton had the game in his hands.
Yes.
Probably like three times on the same play.
Yes.
You know, and it's, I mean, I'm sitting at home watching that play and I'm just beside myself. I'm at a loss of words. I don't even know what to say at that point. And I know Kyle Hamilton and how much of a stickler he is for making plays and how hard he is on himself. I just know he was probably beside himself in that moment.
No, I agree with that. Now, Cordell, when I texted Haney when the Ravens scored to go up, I said, no shot the defense stops him.
No.
None.
No.
That's the kind of faith that I had in the defense. None.
And that's what's warranted right now. This brings us to the other part in the open of Harb's, you know, kind of being asked about more changes on the defensive side of the ball. Dean Pease has been brought in. Marcus Williams, you know, obviously didn't play this week. I don't know if that's a long-term change on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see. They did get Mollett back. But he was a shell of himself. No Marlin and those guys. I
thought they would use Mollett more to blitz.
I thought so too.
And he was not involved at all.
Yeah.
And Cordell, when I'm watching the game and the corners are playing soft and everybody's playing, and I'm saying to myself, oh no, Dean Pease's defense. This is what it was. This is what drove him out of here was, you know, non-aggressive, soft, you know, backpedal, you know, and that's, I don't know, you know, but that's the first thing that came to my mind. That's Dean Pease's defense. Now that info, I wish they would have got Chuck Pagano or somebody or, you know, I mean, like Rex, but Rex wouldn't ever come.
Right.
You know, but somebody with a little more aggressiveness.
Well, the kind of telltale sign is when you're seeing Brandon Stevens trail receivers and he's a press coverage guy.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
And that was not
where
the
he
case.
Can be aggressive, get your hands on people and stuff. And he's not put, I mean, that outcut that they ran, I mean, Cordell, he just ran down the side, you know, and then just went over, tapped him on the head. Okay. You know, and so did Armour Davis. All right, you want to catch a hitch? No problem. Boom. And then how about on the one when they run the outcut over there, number eight, to the flat, third and eight. Oh, you need eight? I'm going back to 10, so go ahead.
Our Darius just gives it to him.
Yeah.
He just gave it to him.
I mean, come on. Be aggressive. You know, you got to know where the sticks are. It's third and seven on that last drive. You know, it's a critical. You're going to put them in fourth and seven, and you give me a gimme first down. I mean, I just didn't like the intensity. Now, I did love the intensity of the Browns defense.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they had eight in the box. They were flying around. The Ravens were like, whoa, you know, with their intensity and tenacity. They were playing like the Ravens normally play.
I mean, people were hitting over there.
Oh, boy.
Derrick Henry got popped.
Yes, he did. Delphin hit him.
Got stuck.
And the receivers couldn't get open.
No.
You know, I mean, and you hear people talk about the old line and stuff. They say Filele played bad. I've watched three quarters. You know, he got beat on the twist.
Mm-hmm.
One time was Zadarius, but then he picked it up another time. I didn't think he was that bad. You know, the problem was the receivers weren't getting open. That was the biggest problem. And, you know, when you're playing against man coverage, and I played receiver and I've coached receivers, sharp breaks create separation. You can't, against man coverage, you can't round into things because you're not creating any separation. And that's what they were doing. They were rounding into their cuts. You know, that first slant route, Bate ran a good route. You know, he put his foot in the ground and bam. You know, but Aguilar, you know, he was, and then they weren't running. I didn't like their route running. The offense, you know, like they've been playing like at an A level. To me, the offense probably overall, that was probably like a C+. You know, I mean, they had spurts, but they didn't, they couldn't run the, you know, I mean, they had trouble running, but they were outnumbered every time when they were running the football.
Right.
That's why when people say, well, you didn't hand, well, I mean, we handed to them. We're blocking with seven and they got nine.
Yeah, a couple of chunk runs for Derrick Henry at a longer 39 on the day. But outside of the chunk runs that he got, and it weren't many, wasn't really a great day on the ground for the Ravens. I thought it was a total team loss in all three phases take into account Tucker's missed field goal as well. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. We'll start to take some of your calls and start to address some of these miscommunication issues that continue to happen for the Ravens on the defensive side of the ball. That's next here on The Fan.
And the problem is, if it was just 1 week, okay. But it's been 8 weeks.
Exactly.
8 straight weeks. And if it's one guy who screws up all the time, then that's easy. You just replace the one. But if it's somebody different all the time, then my thing is, are we doing too much? Are we too complicated? Do we have to simplify things a little bit more? I mean, how do you fix it? How are we going to fix it? That's the issue.
It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. And yeah, Vinny, I agree with you in terms of the miscommunications. And I flat out, we had the cut loaded up. I flat out asked Harbs about just his feelings on it still being an issue this late into the season and it happening as frequent as it does. And this is what he said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I watch a lot of tape, and I see it all around the league, and so I'm not going to single out our guys, but we're going to coach our guys. You know, our guys are our concern, so yeah, we're concerned with our guys, and our guys being the very best they can be. So we'll chase that. We're going to get it better and better and better. I don't know if we'll get it perfect, but we're going to try.
And Harb's always kind of starts out like, you know, I mean, he tells you what he really means, not at the beginning, because he tries to be nice. Then he kind of goes in and tells you, and that's what he did.
And you said you felt like he was making excuses. I did as well. I feel that way as well. And I like Harbs a lot. I think he's, you know, more. I know people have their feelings on him, but I think Harbs is more than enough of a coach to lead this team to where they need to be.
Hall of Fame coach,
right? That's it. You can't, like, we're talking about his team dealing with the miscommunication issues. He's dancing around it, talking about what's happening around the rest of the league. But then it says he has to focus on his guys. I mean, he's bringing those guys up. We're talking about his defense that I watch a lot of football every week. I have my eye on pretty much every game that's going on. I do not see another defense around the league that deals with this miscommunication pre-snap as much as the Ravens do. I just don't see it. Now, every once in a while, sure.
Cleveland had one, I remember.
But we're talking about not just a bi-weekly thing. We're talking about multiple times in a game situation. That's got to be fixed. And like you said, Vinny, they've disguised their coverages forever. This has been something that they've been doing. They did it a lot during the Mike Macdonald era. Didn't have these types of issues as much as they're having them now. And I feel like I tried to brace everybody and myself for the start of the Zach Orr era. Like, look, it's going to be some rough patches. There are going to be, you know, games that we're going to be like, was this the right move? We did the same thing with Mike Macdonald when they had those collapses, but we're getting to the midpoint of the season now. And it's getting to that territory of, this is kind of who you are.
Do you think Harbs has buyer's remorse? Cordell, when they did it, the thing that concerned me was, you're not in a rebuild. You were just in the AFC Championship game. And then you're going to give a 32-year-old dude his first opportunity. That's the only thing that bothered. You're ready to go win a Super Bowl now. Why not get, why not have a Denard Wilson whose defense is playing good, or, you know, Weaver, or one of those other guys? I mean, it's such a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got the best offense in the league and you have the worst pass defense in the league. So, I mean, and the assistants you brought in to replace these guys.
Right.
The experience level, you know, they don't have a ton of pro experience. So it was kind of a bam, bam. You know, I mean, it was a double punch because you lost Mike Macdonald, who got a head coaching job, and then you lost two dudes who got coordinator jobs, and you promoted the youngest guy on the staff to be the coordinator. to me, I just I questioned that from the get go. Zach Orr was what? You know, I mean,
I think when you
Cordell,
talk about
here's what I would hope is, you know, like season's over, whatever happens, happens. Cleveland fires their guy. Let's go get Schwartz.
Oh, go get Jim Schwartz. Yeah.
He's a Baltimore dude.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, you asked if Harbs is having buyer's remorse. I don't know if he's completely having it just yet, but of course the doubt is there.
Yeah. We're bringing in peace right. After five games.
I think he knows something
well,
is
going on. Let me ask you this,
on.
Cordell, because I have my feelings. How much was Bishotti involved in that one?
In the Dean Pease?
Bringing somebody. Not saying Dean Pease, but bringing somebody mm-hmm. in.
I'm sure he had something to do with it.
Just because knowing owners,
right?
I say absolutely, he had his say on it.
Yeah, I think he
knowing
had some,
owners
and probably knowing this was Harb's decision. And I don't know how where Zach Orr was on the pecking order in terms of, you know, replacement defensive coordinator candidates for them, even internally. I don't know where he was on their order, but. No doubt right now, I think they're questioning the decision at least a little bit. It's a natural reaction when the defense looks the way that it does. But I think when you talk about, when you look at Zach Orr, who's not as experienced, and you talk about some of these experienced coaches that they have had, the telltale sign for me is when you see the attention to detail not being there. I feel like that's something that veteran coaches really emphasize, whereas young coaches, they probably gloss over some of the small details that show up in the game, and now they turn into big plays for the other team. I just think that's kind of the telltale sign that maybe they are a little too young on that side of the ball.
Well, here's the other thing about NFL players, you know, is that it's not their fault, and they're not dumb,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they can see what's going on, and last year, because it's basically the same dudes.
Right.
And they're saying, because if we're saying it, they're saying it, Cordell. Right. They're saying, why? Why are we so much worse this year? We were so dominant last mm-hmm. year. You know, so they're questioning Zach Orr is what they're doing.
And they're the ones being questioned. They're getting the questions every week as why is it different? Why is the miscommunications happening? Yep. Why are you not making the plays this year that you were making last year? Marcus Williams himself and Kyle Hamilton for sure have been two of the main guys asked that question. Like, why are you guys not making the same plays you made?
And you don't think they're talking about it when they're amongst mm-hmm. themselves. And when they go home, Cordell, to their wives or girlfriends or, you know, family, they're asking them, mm-hmm. you know, why is your defense so bad this year? And, you know, what's Zach Orr, you know, so there's a lot of questions, you know, about Zach Orr. And what does that have to do? Right now, Todd Monken could say whatever he calls, they're going to believe that it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
On defense, whatever Zach calls, they're going to question whether it works. That's the biggest difference between, and that's what we see on the offense and the defense. I mean, they're down 10. So what? You know, 2 minutes ago, I'll guarantee you those defensive guys are probably, you know, everybody had a pit in their stuff. I would say, Norm, did you think that, did you feel comfortable down one?
Not at all.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm guessing that everybody in the stand, you know, the Ravens fans, they felt the same way. But when the Ravens got the ball back with a minute to go, they got a chance, you know?
I know
that's the difference.
We got to hit a break real quick, but real quick, Vinny. Is there a chance that this isn't a Zach Orr problem? Like, just making sure we're checking every box. Is there a chance that this isn't a schematic issue? Is it a chance that it's something else, somebody else?
You mean a player?
Yeah.
All I know is most of the guys on defense. You tell me a guy on defense, maybe other than Travis Jones, who's playing better than they played last year.
I can't.
Right.
I honestly can't.
So is that the player? You know, all of them can't get worse in a year. They're young.
Right.
So that's got to be the coaching is involved in that.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll start to take some of your calls. 410-583-1057 is the number. How are you feeling about this defense? Is Zach Orr still the answer in your mind? We'll take your calls next here on The Fan. 105.7 is the number if you want to get in. The phone lines are juiced. Let's get it started with Dwayne in Baltimore. Dwayne, you're on The Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Cordell?
What's up, man?
Awesome. Doing good. Vinny!
What's up?
Hey, man, I'm glad that you're doing well, man. And I really appreciate you, Vinny, man. I love you, man.
Thank you. I am doing good. Health-wise, I feel great.
That's awesome. You sound great, man. You sound beautiful, man. Listen, man, obviously the Ravens are not performing. They're not practicing the five P's, Vinny.
That's clear. Proper preparation prevents piss-poor performance.
Performance, that's right. You know what I'm saying? And Vinny, what I wanted to ask you, you know, with all these miscommunications on defense and everything, I started thinking back to last year when Clowney hit his incentive for, you know, hit the quarterback in sacks, and they announced that, and he did the little money dance.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, how motivated are these guys? I'm not trying to perform the scheme, but with this new defensive coordinator, these guys are trying to hit these incentives. What I'm getting at is these incentive-laden contracts. Are these causing these guys to maybe get out of position, trying to make plays, trying to, you know what I'm saying?
No, I would say the guys who have incentives, usually, like Clowney, it was a one-year deal and he wasn't making a lot of money. Right. So that's usually the incentive contracts. So I don't think anybody in there has incentives like tackle incentives or interception incentives. There's nobody on a one-year deal. So I don't see anybody with that. So I would not say that. I would like, if Cordell, if they went and got Jadeveon Clowney back, I think that would be big in the locker room.
Yeah, they need a pass rusher in the worst way right now. I think their sack numbers aren't bad, but I think situationally, they need a third down pass rusher. They need a guy that can get to the quarterback in the fourth quarter. The situational pass rush is a little disturbing for me right now. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you're on The Fan.
Good morning, man. Hey, Vincenzo. Hey, all this talk we're talking about, this is a Harbaugh problem. Let me tell you like this. The general manager, he gets us our players. He gets the head coach to cook the food, you know, like a chef. Harbaugh made the wrong decision. I guarantee you, the people that left, they didn't want to leave. What it is, to my opinion, or is a Harbaugh guy. We've been hearing this for years about if you're a Harbaugh guy, you are. He hired the most inexperienced person for this defense. You think Weaver and them wanted to leave? No. They was looking forward to being the defensive coordinator at the Ravens. Anybody in this world would want to come and be a part of the Ravens, be the DC of the Ravens. No, but you know what? Like they always say, if you show any type of authoritative, if you're an authoritative figure, you're not a Harbaugh guy. They've been saying that for years. All the guys that have left this team always say, if you seem like an authoritative figure, you're not a Harbaugh guy. But if you're soft, mild-mannered, meek, whatever, you're a Harbaugh guy. To me, Orr was third in line, but he hired the most inexperienced person for the job. To me, that means he's inexperienced. And when you hire inexperienced, so really, I don't think the defensive guys look up to Orr as an authoritative figure for the defensive coordinator. That's what our issue is, and I'll see y'all guys later.
Thanks for the call,
Cordell,
Jeff.
I could see where the players like, you know, Zach Orr. I'm sure, you know, you probably know him. You know, he's a likable guy. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's a likable guy. But then players, man, players want to believe that you can get the job done. And right now they're not. And that's what I keep saying is they're not totally bought in right now because the results, and like you said, they're getting asked by everybody. And, you know, I mean, when you got the 25th ranked defense and the 32nd ranked passing offense, you know, and you're giving up 26 points a game, you know, they're looking in the mirror and, you know, what do you think Roquan is saying?
He's probably as confused as the rest of us is like, why, you know, why do we look like this? And I equate it a little when you talk about guys liking Zach Orr. No doubt, I know they do.
Right.
But I equate it a little bit when you're talking about being a coach, and in this case, defensive coordinator, to kind of being the parent, right? You can't be your child's friend but for so much because they won't respect you. You know, you have to have that idea of them not wanting to make mistakes because they know what's coming after that. And I think right now, maybe they look at Zach Orr as more of a peer. You know, he's so young. He's so down to earth to these guys. I don't know how he deals with them in the meetings or anything, but maybe the difference between how they felt about Mike McDonald, who very mild-mannered in public, but we don't know how he was behind closed doors. He had them playing disciplined football, I'll tell you that.
Yes,
they weren't making these types of mistakes with Mike McDonald out there, and I think there was some sort of fear of, you know, making that mistake, whereas now maybe it's a little too loose. Maybe he's a little too down to earth, and I don't know how you get out of that box once you're looked at as the friend guy, the peer coach. I don't know how you now all of a sudden take yourself out of that and now become somebody that you're not, and somebody right. that they may not even believe that you are.
Yeah, that's a good point, because when he was linebacker coach, I mean, he was 30 years old or
exactly.
whatever, you know, so
exactly.
he's basically one of them, so
mm-hmm.
and now he's over all of them, so it's that is a very good point. And then the other thing is you go back and you look at Denard Wilson. He was in Philly. Slay had the best year he's ever had mm-hmm. in Philly. He comes here, secondary, best secondary yep. in the league. Everybody's playing great. And now down in Tennessee, pass defense is pretty damn.
They are. They're up there.
Passing defense, I'll tell you exactly where they are.
They were one at least a week or two yeah. ago.
Yeah, yards per completion, they're one.
Yeah.
They're the best pass defense in the league. You know, so losing Denard probably really hurts yours. Mm-hmm. You know, well, all right, let's look at it. Stevens, not even close to what he was last year. I mean, last year he was legitimately like could have easily been in the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Humphrey had a bad year, he was hurt. You know, and look at all Darby and all these other guys that were – no-name guys that were making plays. How about Geno Stone, 7 interceptions, got him paid. Kyle Hamilton, defensive player of the year or whatever, you know.
All pro.
You know, and now all these guys, none of them are playing as well. And Chris Hewitt, secondary coach, pass game coordinator. You know, you got to – because I tell you what, because, you know, I would imagine when – Zach came in, you're going to delegate. You're going to let your people do what they do. All right. And Lou Holtz was an awesome delegator. And here's what he would do, Cordell. Like, you would be able to do your thing. You handled your position unless your position started to struggle. If your position started to struggle, he was down watching your drills.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to your meetings, all those things, you know? So, secondary struggling, Zach, what are you doing? You know, how are you involved in helping the situation? Because when you really look at it, Dean P's expertise is what? Secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're looking, he brought in Mallory, who is a college guy who has no pro experience. And then Chris Hewitt, who's had experience, but Chris Hewitt was a secondary coach. They brought in Denard Wilson, put him over Chris
right.
Hewitt.
Right.
So, you know, Mallory's a secondary coach. They brought in Chris Hewitt. Chris Hewitt's title's pass game coordinator. But when we're out there watching the drills, it looks like Chris Hewitt's kind of running the drills. Didn't it seem like to you during training camp and
I
all that?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, and Chris Hewitt, everybody else is getting coordinator jobs and offers.
Yeah. It does seem that way for sure. If you're on hold, stay there. If you want to jump on hold, 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll continue to take your calls after this break right here on The Fan. Talk about that Ravens loss to the Browns with him, how they move forward with this defense, the Marcus Williams drama, all of it. We'll get to all of that and more with Kevin Ostreicher next. Right now, we're still taking your calls. Let's go to Ed in Arbutus. Ed, you're on The Fan.
Cordell, Vinny, good morning to you, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Vinny, I know you film study Ravens pre-contest and post. Slight revisit to the Browns game to accentuate a possible Ravens positive. The Browns special teams return men had 6 total returns Sunday, 3 kickoffs and 3 punts, each for modest yardage. Don't know for sure. You would probably know, Vinny, but thought I saw one particular Raven cover guy stand out with 3 of 6 under control, proper breakdown, form and finish tackles. If I'm correct, it's the same impressive preseason guy around the football bringing the thump. He did sustain a lingering shoulder stinger that set him back for a while. I'm thinking it was number 28, Kane, who is now recovered and could possibly bolster secondary rotation consideration, or we don't know at this time, they may still consider him a diamond in the rough as a rookie, which takes me to Ed Reed's career. The Ravens knew when they drafted Reed that he was a playmaker his rookie year. And if you remember, they put him on the edges to rush field goal attempts and extra points, also to block punts. They placed him anywhere he could cause chaos. So the last thing today, motivational challenge message to the entire team. Ball hawk the football this week and play like a Raven on your field. That's it. Thank you for your courtesy, gentlemen.
Thanks for the call, Ed, as always. And yeah, they're definitely going to have to turn it up a notch and try to rebound from that loss coming back home. And I know people overlook the Broncos, but I think the Broncos have the same record right now.
They're 5-3.
Yeah, have the same record as the Ravens. And you can't overlook any offense these days with the way that this Ravens defense is playing. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. Ray, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Y'all would get to me before the top of the hour.
We got you.
But what I will say is two things. Number one, at the end of the day, when it comes to what Joe said in Woodbury, you know, this is, I mean, anybody who has followed the Ravens since 1996, like we have, know that at the end of the day, when it comes to Harbaugh, you know, it's drama that went through when it comes to having it, when Gary Kubiak had his own guy. So there is some validity when it comes to that. Number two, and three, as I hang up the phone, people are sleeping on the Broncos. The Ravens can easily be 5-5 in 10 days. And, you know, I think it's scheme, but more importantly, maybe Roquan Smith isn't who we thought he was. That's like, you know, Ray Lewis's elevated defensive coordinators, and they did a whole NFL film breakdown on that. Roquan Smith ain't who we thought he was, and Zach Orr may be out of a job by next Friday. That's all I got to say.
Appreciate the call, Ray. I mean, I don't necessarily buy the Roquan may not be that, because Roquan was a stud even in Chicago, too. I don't think it's like he showed up in Baltimore and all of a sudden he was, you know, one of the top middle linebackers in the league. He's kind of been that way.
I'll bet you, Cordell, if you went and you sat down and you interviewed Roquan and he was able to tell you his feelings, he could tell you exactly what's
wrong. Oh, I'm sure. Yes. No, without a doubt. Without a doubt, I believe that. Let's grab Brian and Owens Mills. Brian, you're on the Fan.
Man, I first of all, I want to say shout out to my man, Ed Narbutus. He is 100% right about Ed Reed. That's a playmaker. Where Hamilton, I'm sorry, Ed Reed makes that catch. And you ask anybody, does Ed Reed make that catch? Yes, he does. Why can't this guy pick that 14-maker? But I don't want to spend too much time hopping on that. I'm going to move on. First of all, the last caller, Ray, is 100% right. Roquan, since he got that contract, he showed up overweight. I don't know what y'all looking at, but this dude was overweight, and he's acting like he doesn't care now that he got that contract. And so far as, like, Harbaugh goes, yeah, I know where I stand with that. But, Vinny, I want to talk to you. This is for you, Vinny. My problem with Eric DaCosta is just the scouting department stinks. You know, I think we need a real overhaul over there in our scouting department, because what are we talking about? A pass rusher. You had an opportunity to get a pass rusher. I wanted Johnson, and y'all, they took Hamilton, okay? I wanted Christian Gonzalez, right? And they took another wide receiver back-to-back when they took Bateman, and they took Penn State, who had no sacks. It's like, dude, it's like, what are you – it's like, man, their decision-making has been poor. You're going to tell me that Wiggins is better than Christian Gonzalez? Are you kidding me? Dude, Adams got targeted 4 times and had 0 catches on him.
Gonzalez went, what, like 10th or 11th or 12th?
Well, that's not the same draft.
Gonzalez went 17. He went 17. The Ravens should have moved up and got him. That's why I was covering. That was like the best corner in that class. And they're going to say they settled for Flowers instead, which I didn't understand, because you just drafted a receiver the year before. So it's like
Flowers
just
has played great for them, you know.
I understand that, Vinny, but it's just to me, now we're back to that problem again. You got no corner and you got no pass rush, and I felt like, and you got no left tackle either. You talk about Stanley, he's garbage. The Ravens could have been addressed these things. They've drafted guys that are injured, that can't contribute. I mean, what is going on? There needs to be a serious overhaul in our scouting department. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. I'm going to say this. Number one, Christian Gonzalez and Nate Wiggins weren't in the same class. I'm going to take Zay Flowers over. And look, yeah. I like Christian. Christian Gonzalez is a monster. I feel his point, but the thing is, you can't fix everything, right? The Ravens had a receiving problem at the time. The whole Jermaine Johnson thing, I don't know. I mean, Jermaine Johnson did have a good year last year. He had 7.5 sacks. I thought he was passed over by way too many teams, not just the Ravens. But I feel him on the pass rush thing. Their scouting department, when it comes to some of these pass rush guys, clearly there's a disconnect there. But I'm not going to sit here and say that Bateman and Flowers and Hamilton were bad picks. Bateman, some people may still have the jury out on him whether or not he should have been a first rounder. I could buy that. But Zay and Hamilton were studs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Hamilton's a hell of a football player. You know, I mean, nobody was complaining about him last year.
Yeah.
You know, and he made a lot. If he would have caught that ball, he had 10 tackles.
Right.
You know, a caused fumble. I'll get Brian. You were right before the half there. You're probably jumping up and down when he strip sacked him.
Right. Yeah. I definitely feel him on the pass rushers. The Ajabo experiment is not working. It hasn't worked to this point. I think you can kind of wave the white flag on that as well. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Kevin Ostreicher. Talk some Ravens football with him. How concerned is he with this defense and with this Marcus Williams situation? We'll talk to him about it next here on The Fan.